What's the name of the thing again?
Today is the Hanukkah. Here's the title here.
Okay. I'm Rabbi Menachem Liptag, December 6, 2015. Pirsumei Nisa versus Pirsumei Teva, the difference between a Chanukiah and the menorah.
This year is dedicated in memory of.
I'm very privileged to dedicate this year in the memory of my father, Levi Landau, and my mother, Ida Flader Landau, Allah Hashem, for whom I have your sight this past week and this coming week. So they have a long tradition of devotion and learning and caring about continuity of Yiddishkeit, and Menachem Liptag teaches in that tradition, so it's fitting tribute to their memory.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. There's an argument I always have with. I'm losing my head. Mark. Okay. I have a joke always I use.
You also think it's online.
Whether the title, you know, how we go from the title to the topic. So usually the title is something interesting and the topic is something a little more detailed. But here the title I hope was confusing. Right? When we say Pirsumei Nisa on Hanukkah, what are we referring to? I'll explain my question. There's a song that we sing. How come we're only allowed to look at them and we can't use them? Because it seems like the purpose of lighting the candles is to look at them. And look at them and do what? We're not supposed to look at them and remember we can't use them. That would be it. That Misnagdi might say that. The mitzvah is in not using them. Got it? Not using them is because of something else. Why can't you use them? To highlight what point? Pirsumei Nisa, which means what? Which miracle? What miracle are we publicizing? The miracle that we don't use the lights? What miracle the Shemet? No, it's we light the candles to remember there was a miracle in the menorah and the Hashemite revolt. Let's take a in a theoretical sense. Let's say someone could prove to you it never happened, right? Then you wouldn't. Then would be a bracha levatala. Oh, there's another miracle. Yeah, what's the other miracle?
That the Jews defeated
the. That we won a battle. Yeah. So let me rephrase the question. When we say Pirsumei Nisa, what nase are we referring to? The nase of Bala Nisim and the military victory? And I'm lighting candles to remember that victory? Or am I lighting candles to remember that God did a miracle on the menorah?
Both?
That's got to be the answer for sure, yeah. But let's say, would it be one? What? Would one of them be enough? And how are they related? If there was only a miracle in the menorah, would I have an 8-day holiday? If there was only a military victory, we would have an 8-day holiday. I mean, God could have done a miracle in the menorah without a military victory. Let's say on a plain weekday, not in the middle of anything political going on, there was a miracle in the menorah. Would we have a holiday forever for that? Elisha had that little miracle, the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
We read about it, Parsha Vayera. Do we have a holiday commemorating that miracle? we have Chesed. We learn from that, but we don't commemorate it every year. With the Hasmonean Revolt was the only military victory we ever had in Jewish history. Mm-hmm. We have lots of them. We don't have holidays for everyone. So there's something else. A couple years ago, we did the thing about the winter solstice. That's it. I'm not doing that year. Well, we're going to assume you know it, and we're going to relate to it at the end. What I want to do is to appreciate Pirsumei Nisa, I want to go to Pirsumei Teva, which means looking at nature, right? And doing what?
It's an ongoing mirror.
No, I'll get right to the point. I want to look at nature and understand the meaning of creation. There's two themes. There's a Jewish theme and there's a universal theme. What I want to begin with is because of the law of Pirsumei Nisa, it's clear that we do mitzvot that are symbolic. When we look at those candles, and we're supposed to remember the nes. That means the only purpose of lighting the candles is to remember something, not to use the light. Which means there's a concept of symbolism, which is obvious. I want to go back and try to understand what's the symbolism of lighting the menorah in the first place, in our Mishkan. And therefore, what I want to do first is discuss the Mishkan in general, and after we discuss the Mishkan, then try to better understand why the menorah specifically is related to Pesumei Teva. Okay? In general, are we the only nation ever to have a temple?
No.
Everyone has temples. That's like, everyone has football teams, everyone's got sports, everyone has machlokes. Everyone is part of culture. Every classic temple has an altar where the people bring sacrifices. And what's always in front of the altar? No. In front of the altar is always a symbol of the god. That's classic. There's a god you're worshipping. There's usually a symbol of that god. He might be the god, or it might just be the symbol of the god. It always began as a symbol. It might turn into a god later on. And in front of the symbol of the god is an altar. Okay. Give me an example in Chumash where someone with very good intentions makes a symbol of our god and puts an altar in front of it. Aaron HaKohen, what did he do? That's how he did it. Okay. I'm talking about, what was his idea? Moshe is gone. Right. Everyone assumes he's not coming back.
Right.
And we need to continue to travel to Israel. God promised to lead the way. And Moshe was leading the way till now. We want God to continue to lead the way he promised. And I want a symbol of God. What does he use as a symbol of God?
Yeah.
He makes something out of gold. What does he build in front of it? He builds a mizbech lefanav and says Chag Lashem Achar, meaning that it's very logical to take a piece of gold or something, an image of God, put an altar in front of it, and that's how you serve your God. What is Chumash's answer to that? That's the story of Chet Egel. But if you remember, I'm sure we did this way back one time, what replaces that idea? The Mishkan. That's the Ramban in the beginning of Ramban doesn't say the Mishkan is because of Chet Egel, but Ramban talks about the symbolism of the Mishkan. But if I want to make it nice and simple, we'll say tomorrow morning, we said it yesterday, when we take out the Sefer Torah and open the Aron, what pasuk do we say? Vayibin Soha Aron, Vayomer Moshe, Kum Hashem. Meaning, who's Hashem referring to? When we say Hashem, what are we referring to? The Aron is traveling. Uvenucha Yomar. What do we say when the Aron rested? What do we say? Shuva Hashem, dot, dot, dot. Our symbol of God is the Aron. No one thinks that the Aron is God. Maybe later in Sefer Shoftim they do, when they want him to help them and more. Human beings need a symbol. Now, the danger is when the symbol becomes the God. The question is going to be, what do we use as a symbol? What I want to suggest is the symbol is not a symbol of the God, but the symbol of our relationship with the God. And there's a giant difference between the two. Because when the symbol is the God, it turns into idol worship. When the symbol is the relationship, it becomes something meaningful. Now, what becomes our symbol of our God? The Aron. Why the Aron? Not because it's an Aron. Because of what's inside of it. What's inside the Aron? Luchot, finish it. Luchot? Luchot HaBrit. Why are they called Luchot HaBrit? Because there's a contract inside between God and the people. And our relationship is that contract to be a Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. The Ten Commandments written in stone on the Luchot is a contract. I'm your boss, you can't work for anybody else. We've gone through that before. Our relationship with God is that contract, and therefore, our symbol of our relationship with God is going to be the Aron. And therefore, it makes sense that the Aron is going to represent God. The question is, why isn't that enough? Well, what else do we have besides the Aron? Well, on top of the Aron, we have a lid called a kaporet with kruvim on top. Yeah. And I think there's a story in Chumash that explains why, which should be real simple. I need the story in Gan Eden with the kruvim to understand the meaning of the kruvim and the kaporet. We'll get that later on. all that is covered with what? With the Mishkan. Mishkan means the cover. The Mishkan Taseser Hiriot on top. And that should be enough. But for some reason, I have what's called there's a Kodesh Kodeshim and there's a Kodesh. What's in the Kodesh? There's a menorah, yeah? There's a Shulchan. And there's a Mizbach Torah. No one got that. I was doing hand signals. What? A menorah, a Shulchan, and Mizbach Torah. That's not good for people on the head. Isn't it parallel to the face? Or at least, I'll bet it makes sense. There's five senses, aren't there? The way to remember, in case you don't remember, is from the story of Yitzchak blessing Esav by giving it, by Yaakov stealing it. Remember all five are there? There's sight or lack of sight. There's Hakol Kol Yaakov, Yitam Yisav. There's the Reach HaSadeh. There's the Tima. And we're missing one. We got them. Oh, and touch. All five are there. And there's one sense that's missing, called common sense.
Okay. It's not just bridge.
What?
It's not just bridge.
That may be coincidental, but in the Mishkan, there's definitely some similarity between the human face or human senses and the kelim in the Mishkan. Now, that's not critical for the shir, but the idea that I have sight, I have smell, and I have eating inside, in the middle thing, I think reminds me of a face, or at least of a human face, or at least the senses. And then if you want to take that farther, maybe the ears is like the kruvim, because you hear the word of God from the kruvim. Touch is probably for the Mizbech HaChitzon, but that's not critical for the shir at all. I just want to know, what would be symbolic about having that with our relationship with God? What's symbolic about those kelim? What would be symbolic about having a symbol of God with those kelim? With sight, with smell, and with taste?
We relate with all our senses?
It could be. Something like that, but we'll get to something. I want to get something more basic. Yeah. There's the idea of panim b'fanim. It's like face-to-face with God. There's a bigger question, though, which goes back to what's the meaning of creation. And there's an idea, I think you've read about it, called Tzelem Elohim. How does God make man? Man is in the image of God. Now, man is also in the image of man. Man looks like a human. God makes man in his image. And when we look at the Mishkan, are we supposed to remember what was the purpose of our creation? What I want to do is suggest something about that by basically doing a shir back on Bereshit. What I want to show you is I need to remember the Kodesh Kodeshim is going to relate to Mount Sinai. The Kodesh I want to relate to creation. Perek Aleph, Evi, Perek Bet, and Bereshit. We have a special relationship with God to represent and to be His people. That's the Kodesh Kodeshim, that's the Luchot Ha'edut. But on the other hand, we also have a message for mankind, and God has a message for mankind, and that's recognizing we're created B'Tzelem Elohim, and a bit more than that. One last thing, though. The outsider, looking at this Mishkan, what does he see? Does he see all these things inside? What does he see? He sees a cover. That's all we see. He sees the Mishkan. And unless you're a Kohen working inside, now can you see the Mizbech on the outside? Everyone sees that. That's open. Otherwise it would be a fire. But the Mizbech and the Kior, that's open for everyone to see, and you can come and visit. The part that represents God is off limits, except for the Kohen every day. You know, to the Kodesh, and the Kodesh Kodeshim once a year. What's interesting, though, is we have a God that we know He exists, but we can't see Him. We know that He is, we don't know what He is, but we can perceive Him through His creation, but we can't see Him. And it could be that our symbol of God might be unique in the fact that when we look at it, we only see a cover, knowing something's inside. In fact, by chain, it's even better. We can have a whole Mikdash without an Aron. But we know something's there, even though it's not there. Instead, we're having a cover, but not being able to see it, as a symbol of God, is something interesting. Imagine if you go to Washington, D.C. and go to the Lincoln Memorial and you can't see, and there's no statue. Or there's a statue, but it's covered. No one can see it. Like under cover. Yeah. People would complain. So here's what we're going to do. And initially, what I want to do is I want to first understand what's going on in creation. We'll see in a minute. I want to do a quick share on creation, and then we'll go back to the Mishkan. Take a look. If you have, open up Aleph and Bereshit for a minute, and I'll give out the source sheet in a minute. Actually, let's do the source sheet now. There's two sets, and these are different. Yeah, so here. Most of you, here, give these source sheets out. There's 30 like that and 10 like this, so there should be enough for everybody. And pass this around for this side. There's a one page one. And you guys will need a second page for a minute.
Is it on for me?
Good. But take, this is the second sheet here. Take them one. Yeah, you're sure. Okay. And this is going to be the second piece of it. Okay. For people who got this one, this is a backup sheet. So I'll put up, because you guys have to take it. The backup. Okay. If you have the stapled one, it's better. We're good. This is the second. You don't have the stapled one, this is the unstapled one. Yeah. We're good? Oh, yeah. Give a, here, Brady. Give one over here. Here we go. Here. There we go. And I just need one for myself. There. Here's another for this one. And I need. No, we're good. I had 40 altogether, 45. Should be more. Should be enough somewhere. If not, you'll share a couple. It's fine. I just need one to make sure I have my outline right. What we did so far, Chanukah Menorah we'll get back to later on. Symbolism about the Mishkan we'll go back to. One other example of symbolism. The Din of Tzitzit. We look at something and remember the mitzvot. That's classic. On Pesach, we look at matzah and we remember something. What are we supposed to remember when we look at matzah or talk about matzah? Listen carefully. What are we supposed to remember? Shibat yamim tochal matzot lechemoni ki b'chipazon leman tizkor et yom tzeit chaner es mitzrayim koyim echayecha. Once a year we go meshuggah. So we, in order to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim every day. Why do we need to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim every day? We go meshuggah once a year to make sure we remember every day. Pesach is for the daily mitzvah. It's not the daily mitzvah, it's for Pesach. The main commandment is to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim every day. But we go crazy about it once a year. Make sense? That's what Chumash says. You mumbled that at the Seder somewhere also, remember? That guy was almost 70, never understood that. Now, why is it important to remember the Exodus every day? Is it out of gratitude? What? No. The easy way to understand it is out of gratitude. That I have to be thankful to God for saving me. The deeper way is not gratitude but destiny. Meaning, I don't need to remember that he took me out, but why he took me out. Because that memory, if you follow Chumash, that collective memory of that suffering is supposed to shape our day-to-day behavior. And therefore, I want to use that example because it will help us solve the problem at the end. When we have mitzvot of looking at things that are symbolic, this symbol is not just a symbol to remember gratitude, that God won a battle for me, to say thank you, but it's always going to be a symbol to remember the purpose of that victory. And same thing here. When I need to remember the story of the Exodus, I'm not just remembering what happened to say thank you, what they call Hakaras HaTov, but rather Hakarat Yud, recognition of a destiny. Why was it that God put me in to take me out in the first place? That's the same thing on fast days. I don't need to remember that God destroyed the temple. I need to remember why he destroyed the temple. That makes it meaningful thousands of years later. We'll see that when we're done, we'll get back to Hanukkah. Okay, now we got to get to work. Now we can do a regular share. Look in Perek Aleph and Bereshit for a minute, and I want to review something which I'm assuming you're aware of. There's 6 days of creation where God does things, and the seventh day he rests. But each day of creation, even though they're different, they share a format. And the format is real simple. How does every day begin? With what words? Vayomer Elohim. Begins every day. And what always follows Vayomer Elohim? A command. The command might be Yihi Or, it might be Yikabu Hamayim, it might be Totzei Eretz Desha, whatever it might be, there's a command. And after the command is always the execution of the command. Vayomer Elohim Yihi Or, Vayihi Or. Follow it, down the line. When the execution is complete, sometimes God does something else. He might give out names, he might give out jobs and things like that. Then there's always an evaluation, except on day two, and it's always good. And then what happens? And then vayer vayboker yom blink. That's the format of every day of creation. I'm assuming you're familiar with that. And therefore, if I want to understand what's going on in creation, I have to take a look, what did God create every day? And in a quick summary, on day one, what did God make? No. Shemayim Baris is the intro. On day one, he made Or. It was Aleph and Bet is an intro. They're not a day, they're an intro to the story. Day one begins in Pasuk Gimel, with Vayomer Elohim Yi'or. When you follow the structure, you can't miss that. Day one begins with Pasuk Gimel. What's Aleph and Bet? That's a machloket. But day one, it's clearly Pasuk Gimel. Because every other day begins that way. Day two, God makes Rakia, which divides, because there was a lot of water, and he divides the water down below into one. What's the water up there called?
Shamayim.
And below it's called? Shamayim. So the Shamayim becomes Shamayim, and the water down below becomes Yamin. Then we have day three. We get Yabasha, and he calls it Aretz. And God gives out names. Day four?
Maorot.
Up on the top. And day five? God makes fish and fowl. You should sort of, do they have life forms now? I mean, animals? Or fish and fowl? Day five, we have land animals, and then man. Got it?
Six.
Well, day six, that was day six. Now, but there's a parallel, which should be obvious, which I'm sure you've seen before, between days 1, 4, 2, 5, and 3, 6. In case you don't remember, it's on the page, it's on, sort of flip the page over, it's source, source F. You want to take a look at it. Okay. Day one is Or. Day four is Ma'orot. Okay. Day two is Rakia. And day two, between Shamayim and Yamim. On day five, God makes fish and fowl. You can't miss that parallel. Be'ofi yofet Rakia Shamayim. Day three, God makes land. And on day six, he makes land animals. But the most important point of the shir is going to be on day three. Because unlike all the other days, day three has two acts of creation. There's two times on day three, there's a Vayomer Elohim, followed by a command, followed by an execution. And therefore, that's why on day three we have two times Kitov. Everyone knows that Yom Shlishi has Pamaim Kitov. But a lot of people don't understand why. It's not double good. There's two acts of creation on day three. And Chumash goes out of its way to highlight that. I'm trying to show you how Chumash teaches you through structure. That if you don't study the Pesukim, you won't begin to appreciate what Perek Aleph is about. It's not a history book. And it's not a book about physics. It's not about the Big Bang. It's about our relationship with God. Day three, what does God do? First he makes land, gives it a name, calls it Aretz. And what's the second act of creation on day three? If you look in your Chumash, Vayomer Elohim, Hashem Aretz Deshe, Esem Azri Azera, Eitzpri, Osefri. Now, is there a connection? I'll call that 3A and 3B. 3A is making land. 3B is vegetation. Is there a connection between land and vegetation?
Yes. Yeah.
Of course. Is there a difference between them? There's a quantum leap between them. Because we're going from... God's creating death. Not creating death. He's creating... Oh, it goes hand in hand, doesn't it? For the first time, we have a life form. From 3A to 3B is a quantum leap. Then I'm pretty sure if you studied evolution, I don't think anyone in science has ever explained that in any logical way. If I can explain the Big Bang Theory, how matter came about, they can try that way. But how we go from inanimate objects, from domain to tzomeach, there's no logical evolutionary explanation for it. Once that happened, evolution can pick up and develop. But that leap from inanimate objects to life forms, that's something I call it a quantum leap. And that's what 3A and 3B is about, because there's a big jump from inanimate, from domain to tzomeach. That's 3A to 3B. And that's why each one has a kitov. And notice the way God makes every living thing, even though it dies, it can stay alive. How does it stay alive? Esev, Mazri Azera. Eitzpri or Sepri. And every living thing, before it dies, can perpetuate itself. Yeah, and that's the way of nature. Day six has something very similar, because day six also has two acts of creation, doesn't it? What's 6A? God makes land. And therefore, what's parallel? I mean, sorry, God makes land animals, which is parallel to?
The land.
to 3A. 3A is parallel to 6A perfectly. Just like day 2 is parallel to day 5. Sea animals, and sky animals, or sky fish and fowl. And day 6, land animals. Works like a charm. But then I have a second act of creation on day 6, which is what? God making man how? B'tzelem Elokim. B'tzelem B'tzelem B'tzelem. And it's almost like a, it's like a song almost. And that's being highlighted. Which, and if I follow the parallel, what does that have to mean? That there's a parallel between 6A, between 3, no, there's a parallel between 3B and 6B. And there also has to be a parallel between the jump from A to B, and the jump from A to B in 6 and 3. If I look, there's two parallels. One is 3A has to be parallel to 6A, 3B has to be parallel to 6B, and there also has to be a parallel in the jump from A to B.
One is domain to Tzimayot, the other is Pi to Medav.
Exactly. That's what we're going to get to. But first I have to see if it's really true. When God makes man, is there anything similar between man being created and fish and the Tzomeach? How does God make Tzomeach? Esef Mazriya Zera, Eitz Pri Yosef Pri. Does that come up when God makes man? Look in day 6. Are you sure? But you know Rabbi Yehuda Shita and Bracha about... And day 3, on 3b, God makes Bar Pri Adama and Bar Pri Ha'etz. I'm sure you do. Do you know that's the source of those two brachot? How do you realize that? They come from day 3. The distinction between Eitz and Adama is there, and there's a better source coming up in a minute. And what was Rabbi Yehuda Shita? Where did that come from? It comes from here. Now, they're all reading the Psukim. Rabbi Yehuda Shita and Brachot, there's also Bracha Bar Minei D'Shaim. But where did he get it from? From day 3. Totia Aretz Deshe. Esa Mezer Yazer, it's Pri Yosef Pri. Now, look at day 6, what happens? God makes man. And look at Pasach Chavtet. There's another Vayomer Elohim, which is not an act of creation. It's a statement about nature. What's God say? Hinei netati lechem ko esev zorei azera asher al pnei kol aretz v'cho etz asadeh asher bo pri etz zorei azera lechem yelochla. What is man given to eat? Man who's made on 6B can eat everything that God made on 3B. Now we have our connection, correct? But there's something really cute now. What do the animals get? They eat grass and we smoke it. No. But you see the parallel, don't you? There's a clear parallel now between 3B and 6B. Got it? And also another evaluation at the end. It's now it's still bold. Everything he did together is still bold. Yeah.
You account for no second keto?
What?
From what you're saying, I was expecting a second keto. I would have expected a second keto.
There is. But it's still mode.
So you're saying the mode?
The mode, yeah. It's like the closure of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And what's cool is, now, when this is, creation is over, and God made what we call nature. Before we had Tovavo, and now we have nature. That's classic. I'm sure everyone's heard that before. But even though nature's over, now we have the laws of physics. Now you can figure out how God does it. In other words, now we know the laws of physics. We know we can figure out evolution. We can do all these things. But God got it started. Now, do things change or are they the same? Nature stays the same, but what changes now? After day 6, what changes?
The dynamic relationship changes.
What changes now is creation is over and civilization begins. Because the process of creation, the God that is finished, we call that nature, and that's set. But the last thing that God made was man, b'tzamo, which means what does he have? Man has creative ability. You know what man can do? Man can take what God did and improve upon it. God makes esev, zorei azera, God makes wheat. What can we do? We can grind it, make flour, and make sufganiyot, and make and bake bread. Okay? God can make olives. We can squeeze them, make them oil, and we can... Oh, even better. No, we can create light. Can't we? That's pretty cool. Now, no animals did that. No animals make candles on their own. They might have better vision than we do. They might have night vision and things like that, but they can't create light. We can make ma'orot. Shemen. How's it go? Remember Shemen Lamor? Where's that from? Samim is Shemen HaMishnah. Okay. Well, we'll see that in a minute. What we can do, we can take Shemen, turn it into, we can extract oil from the olive, make Shemen, and we have a factory, we have industry. And we can create light. And we can, why do you think the main bracha we make is on bread? And not on the, we're Kovei Suda because that's our accomplishment. Making bread is a symbol of civilization. Now, you can take that industry of man and use it and sanctify God, or you can use it to become powerful and think that you're a god. You can be like the Egyptians and oppress other people, and the symbol is going to be chametz. You follow? You can make bread and make towers. I'll give you a better example. Man can take fire and clay, right? And he can make his own stone. He can take big and levena switches the oven, and the chomer dechemer. That's make davavel. God, man is blessed with the ability to be creative. What does he do with his creativity? In my opinion, that's the biggest theme of Chumash. And that's the message for mankind. Because we go from creation to civilization. Now, civilization is entrusted to man. What makes civilization happen? We have buildings, we have Industrial Revolution. It continues to grow. God gave man the ability to be creative, to be like God. The question of civilization is, what will man do with it? And he can do good or bad. Is there a story about that? That's going to be Perek Bet. You can do good, you can do bad. But you can't have one without the other. In Perek Aleph, everything can be good. But the second, man is in the picture now. Now that God's made man, B'Tzelem Elokim, you can do good, you can do bad. And man has to remember not only that God gave him that creative ability, but what to do with that creative ability. It's not enough to say, thank you, oh, you gave me creative ability, and thanks to you, I can be king on the hill. Thanks to you, I can make all these big buildings. But I'm going to take what God gave me and use it to be his partner in creation. Because things seem to be missing in creation. Things seem to be... people sit and complain about mankind, about injustice. Man can make a difference. So what does man do with his creativity? Does he do it to improve creation? Or does he think that he's a god? Or does he become a servant of God? Ideally, he should be a servant of God. Remember, that's the Gan Eden thing. But he can also misunderstand that. But doesn't mean he shouldn't be industrious. He should be industrious. What do you do with it? There's a people, I forgot what they're called. There's this beautiful custom that once a week they stop all creativity. They do nothing creative. And why do they stop all creativity? To remember there's a creator. But that's to remember what to do, because there's another, they also have a commandment they don't keep. It's called Sheshitamim Tavod. You're supposed to work 6 days a week. I stop creativity one day a week to give meaning to the creativity of the 6 days of the week. Now, what I want to suggest is that in the Mishkan, I need to do something to remember that thing. Now, the Kodesh Kodeshim, that's our contract. Got it? And the Gan Eden theme, if you have time, we'll get to it. What's in the Kodesh? Well, I said three things. There's really two things. What? There's a menorah, shulchan, and mizbach Torah. Which one don't I need, if you know halacha? One I can live without. Mizbach Torah. You know what the halacha is? If there's no mizbach Torah?
That's right. That's one of the answers on why it's not in the Truma.
Yeah. No, it's not one of the answers. It's one of the reasons why it's not in the Truma. You're working backwards. I'll explain what Mark's saying in a minute. When you study Parshat Truma, that's the outline I gave you. We'll see it. Mizbach Torah has a different function. The main, put it this way, what is the main avodah that's done in the Mishkan on a daily basis? I'm not going to count the Mizbech HaChitzon, because everyone does that. What do we do inside? We light the menorah, and what else do we do? Every day we light the menorah. What are you going to say? We also bring Torah? Well, we're going to read in a minute. You're only bringing Torah because you're going in to light the menorah. You follow the linkage? We'll read it inside in a minute. What I want to show you is, the only reason I'm lighting Ktoret is in order to enter to light the menorah. The main commandment to the Kohen goes in is to light the menorah and to set it up. In order to go in, to take care of the menorah, he's got to bring Ktoret first. What? Like I'm Yom Kippur. It goes really cold. Look out. Once a day, we light the menorah. Right? Once a week, what do? We change the bread. And once a year, we go indoors. You follow? We clean house. And that's what we do. That's the Avodat Tamid. The step on the Mizbech, that's it's really cool. Yep. What animals do we bring on the Mizbech and Chitzon? What animals are Korbanot? They're called domesticated. Now, what's the difference between who domesticated animals?
Man.
Who made light, you follow? It's the same thing. Only domesticated animals can be Korbanot. Because what do they remind you of? Because man's ingenuity, his creativity, came up with the idea to be a shepherd and to be a shepherd. No, there's the shepherd. No, there's the classic. There's the shepherd and there's the farmer, right? Kind of kind in heaven and stuff like that. Both are using ingenuity and taking nature and trying to improve upon it. And from both, we bring korbanot to God. But if we're going to be on the mizbech, I'm going to put wine. Why wine? Because that's taking grapes and improving upon them. Remember, korban mincha, there's like five different ways to bake it, because they all reflect human ingenuity and creativity. Now, therefore, the daily avodah is lighting the menorah, the weekly avodah is the lechem, and the yearly thing is inside. Now, let me prove it to you from somewhere you would never expect it. Okay, open up the last line of Vayikra Chav Gimel, because you know it by heart. Look in Vayikra Chav Gimel. The last line of Vayikra Chav Gimel. How come you all know it by heart? But you're probably missing it. You're missing probably a word there. By Dabar Moshe Ba'adei Hashem Avnei Yisrael, and they're missing Savri. Yeah. Why is that the last line of Perek Chav Gimel? Because it begins with Eilam Odei Hashem Tikro Otam. Vayikra Chav Gimel is what? What's the topic of Vayikra Chav Gimel? It's the we call it Modei Hashem. We don't call it. Chumash calls it Modei Hashem. It's a list of the holidays. And what's unique to every holiday? It's the agricultural theme, isn't it? What do we bring? We repeat Chag HaMatzot, but what's the Chiddush in Parsha Damor on Chag HaMatzot? It's called Omer. And we count the 7 weeks from Chag HaMatzot, from Mokrat HaShabbat, Shabbat, count 7 weeks till we get to Shavuot. Bring Shtei Alechem. That's for sure. That's the yearly thing. Yeah. Rosh Yom Kippur is agriculture. That's what the water thing. Okay.
What do you do in Rosh Yom Kippur?
That's the water thing. There's water. It's the beginning of the rainy season. That's going to judge who's going to live and who's going to die. Okay. And we have to recognize that God's in charge of the water, not some Baal God or rain God. Then we have Sukkot, which is going to be Arba Minim, which is agricultural. That's over. That's for the holidays. Then, as a postscript, we have Perek Chavdalet. Look at Perek Chavdalet in Vayikra. We don't mean this. We're less familiar. Look at Perek Chavdalet. But it's right after Chav Gimel and right before Chav Hei. Because what's Chav Hei about? That we know. That's Shemitah. Yeah. But there's Omer, which is the seven weeks of the Omer is like the 7 years of Shemitah. It's all parallel. But right in between, what do we have? Perek Chavdalet, verse 4 lines. By Davar Shemoshe Lemor. Tzabe b'nei Yisrael v'chui lech Hashem en zayit zach katit. What does it say next? Katit. Lamor. Okay. Was that word ever before in Chumash? Remember day 4? La'lot ner tamid. Michut saporchet v'chui they do it. Yarochot aron uvana v'chui lech. Now, what's the next? One pasuk hey. Titet. V'lechach tesolet v'yafit otah shtei mesrei chalot. Shnei esronim chala achat. But you take solet and do what? And bake bread. You take oil and you make light. You follow? That's industry. That's something man does, but that's his creative ability. Because he's improving on creation. And God gave him that ability. What? What? Nezikin? You mean afterwards? That's a Rav Yoav ben Incher. I can do it, but it will take... But it's in his book, I'm sure, somewhere. Yoav ben Incher has a chiasm between... this closes up the Nezikin closes up Parsha Mishpatim. This closes up the Mishkan. No, the end of Vayikra closes up Sefer Shemot. It's too complicated for now.
No, I got that.
Now the but what's missing here? We have what Avodat Tamid do we have? We only have the menorah and we have the Shulchan. What's missing? The Mizbach Toret. It's not mentioned here, the Mizbach Toret. And you see the parallel, this is by Yerochot, this is once a week, this is once a day. Avodat Tamid. There's no Mizbach Toret here. in Perek Chavdalet. Anyone find? There's no Torah there. Shouldn't there be? If this was complete, I should have Mizbach Torah here as well. I should bring... It doesn't mention the Torah, does it? Where? No, that's Levona on the Lechem. You put on the Lechem a panim, you put Levona on it. But that's not the Mizbach Torah. That's something, a little spice on the bread. Okay. And then what do you do? Biyom HaShabbat, Yeruchen Ochen. You have the word Aricha by both. You organize them, which is part of human, like being organized. That's for Yekis. Everything's got to be aruch and organized and nice and set up. Okay. Now, and then we have the makalo, but you notice that the two are there and we're missing these Mizbach Torah. Now, I gave you a page that has the outline. It's either a separate page or it's on the, it's the next page. It's source E. It's the outline. Yeah, the outline. Most of you have it. It's the next page. If you have the stable version, it's the next thing. Just flip it over. Now flip it over, the outline here. You see where there's an outline? Everyone have the outline? No. I'm assuming this is a shir you know, so I'm only going to review it. Everyone knows that Truma Tetzaveh and half of Kitisa is what's called Tzibur HaMishkan. It's well known. It seems very boring, but it's repetitive, but it's all there. Now, it's one of the few sections of Chumash which is organized to the T. It's organization, it's not random, put it that way. And let's look at the logic of it. It starts with the most important Jewish value, which is what? Collecting money. Correct? Vayichudi Truma. Now, but what are you collecting money for? What's the purpose of this collection? Va'asu l'migdash v'shachanti b'tocham. That's for sure the header. Correct? That begins a whole unit. Read the Ramban here, and that's the source B in the first thing. Ramban says that the whole Mishkan is going to be a symbol of Mamad Har Sinai. And that's his whole point. Why it comes right after Mamad Har Sinai is because we never leave Har Sinai, we take it with us. And listen what the Ramban says in his perfect Lashon, you'll understand why in a minute. He says, the Kvod Hashem which was Nigla at Har Sinai, which means what? Everyone witnessed inside Har Sinai, is now going to be Nistar B'Mishkan. What was obvious to everyone in Har Sinai is now hidden in the Mishkan. Why is he using that terminology? Ramban? What's his pastime, the Ramban? Where's that? He's a big Kabbalist, isn't he?
And also fits nicely with his time.
With what?
His timing.
With his time period.
No, I'm saying his timing.
That's why it's juxtaposed to the laws of Har Sinai and saying Nasa Benishma. So that's what he's doing. Got it? And therefore, the whole Mikdash is a symbol of Mamad Har Sinai, the first part, especially the Aron. So first we have collecting the money and the title. The rest of chapter 25 are the kelim indoors. First the Aron and the Kruvim. Aron and Kaporet. Got it? That's clear. Followed by what? The Shulchan and Menorah. Correct. What's missing? Mizbach Torah is missing. But here again we see Shulchan and Menorah. What's the proof it's missing? Because what's chapter 26 about? The tent, the structure called the Ohel Moed. It has the covers, and then the poles, the amudim, and the prochet that divides it up. It's all material. That's what it's clear. The chapter division is right on the mark as well. What's chapter 27? Now we go to the chatzer. So first we have the mizbeach in the chatzer, the altar, which everyone has to have, and then the mechitza around the chatzer called kalei hachatzer, bamodav. When that's over, we have something that doesn't make sense. We have the beginning of Parsha Tetzaveh. How come it doesn't make sense? Because how does Parsha Tetzaveh begin? What? It's a tzivui. I'm not making the clay, but I'm making the oil to light the menorah. And if it's going to be anywhere, where should that be? If it's going to be anywhere, either it should be in Perakhaf with the menorah, or it should be in Emor where it is anyhow. Because it's word for word from Parsha Emor, isn't it?
Right.
But if it belongs here, it's out of place for sure. Okay, so that's right now. That's the only glitch. What follows? Chapter 28, which is Bigdei Kuna, nice and organized, perfect. Chapter 29 makes perfect sense because after I have the Bigdei Kuna, I need the inauguration ceremony to make them kohanim. And when the inauguration ceremony is over, I have the Korban Tamid. Now, look in your Tanachim now, in your Chumashim. I want to show you why this unit is a closed structure. Remember, start with Vasudim Dash for Shachanti. Look in the end of Perakhav, the end of Perakhavtet. In Shemot. The end of Perakhavtet. In Shishi. In Pasuk Lamechet. It says, Vizesher Tesalem Isbeach. Vosim B'nei Shana. Shnaim Lim Tamid. Etekevzach Etesa Baboka. But this is what we're looking for. Today's share is about the menorah, not about the Chanukiah. At the very end, we'll go back to the meaning of the Chanukiah. But the goal of this year is to share on the menorah and the Mishkan, which relates to Chanukah. If Chanukah means Chanukah Tamizbeach, you know, Chanukah Tamishkan, and not Chanukah Chafei. Now, the Avodat Tamid is on the Mizbeach, it's an earlier theme from Chumash, from creation, isn't it? Why do we bring, look at the key pasuk, which we know by heart. Pasuk Lametet, et hakeves achat taseh baboker, et hakeves taseh ben harbaim. Does that remind us of something in creation? Boker, erev ay boker. Now, when is the biggest danger that you might think there's a sun god? Is the sun a god? It looks like a god, acts like a god. Everyone thought he was a god. Every culture thought he was a god. What is Chumash? The Chumash doesn't even call it a son, does it? What's it called? Mo'or HaGadol and the Mo'or HaKatan. And God gives them Limshol Bayom HaValayla. Doesn't he? He gives them the ability to Limshol. And it looks like they're Moshel. But who's really Moshel? God gave him the ability. It's not. It's a son of God. Understand? He made it. Holiday season. Yeah, okay. Now, what time of day is it most dangerous that someone would think there's a sun god? When it rises. And what do we do in the Mikdash? At sunrise, what are we supposed to do? No, we turn our backs to the sun. That's by Shekhinah B'Marav. Yeah, that's... Yeah. It's a pasuk from Yechezkel also. But we turn our backs to the sun, but now we have to do something. So you bring a korban, you follow? Because you bring a korban. But the main thing you're doing is you're not facing the sun, you're bowing down the direction. Now, in my opinion, that creates a big problem when we daven Mizrach and daven Vatikin. Like when, I remember at that time, everyone's, oh, Vatikin, he's davening to the sun. So it's a bit problematic, the whole thing, when you understand what's really going on. But that's something directional. That explains something else. When's the best time to daven mincha? At Shkia? According to this thing, that would be bad to daven at Shkia, wouldn't it be? And then from the Mikdash, when did they always daven? Plag. And the best time would be when? Mincha Gdola, isn't it? And the Mikdash right after Chatzot, Ben Harbaim is right after Chatzot. Right? As soon as the shadow is a little bit to the other side. That's the whole Sugim Brachot, isn't it? And plag, the second plag is even like Bediyeva, but they would never wait till sunset. Understand? So we do sunset because you have to get them out of the way together. But
the Mishkan have an east-west orientation?
By definition, it's exactly east-west. That's exactly the law. The Mishkan is exactly orientated east-west, north-south. And therefore, always facing due west. If you go to Shiloh, if you see where the Mishkan used to be, it's exactly with the compass. See it perfect. East-west, south-north. Okay, we were doing. I got sidetracked for that reason. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that means Shol Bayom HaValayla of the sun and the moon is very similar to what God tells man, because I gave the sun and the moon, or the Mo'or HaGadol and Katan, to control the skies. In the same way, God made man b'tzamo and bless him produ urduba v'kivshua. It looks like you're in charge, but just like it looks like the sun and the moon are in charge, but they're really not. It looks like you're in charge, but they're really not. Who gave you that ability to be creative? That's coming from God. And again, you have the parallel between from 4 to 6. Now notice, in the first part of creation, who's giving names? God's giving names to everything. Does man ever do that? Yeah. That becomes man's first job, is giving out names, which is atachonein la'adam dat. It gives you the ability to... giving names comes with differentiating between different species. That's the beginning of man's wisdom, to understand there's something going on. And the final thing he gives a name to... What's the ultimate that God has, that man has to do? Give a name to God. Remember Kriya B'Shem Hashem? That's Avram Avinu, remember? So God gives out names, and then ultimately, man's going to give a name. By recognizing God, that God made man as a partner in creation. Now, So again, you have the theme of giving a name from God giving names, and then God giving power. There's the first half, the first 3 days, God's giving names. The second half, God's giving power. You see what happens? The first three, God gives out names. As soon as starts life, he gives control of his nature to other parts of nature. And the final thing he does, he gives control down on earth to men. Now, so now back to Perek Chavtet. When Korban Tamid is over, we have a little summary in Pasuk Mem Bet. Olat Tamid Odor Techem Petach Omoed. Lifnei Hashem Asher Vedlach Hashem. Now it's connecting between the Mizbach HaChitzon and the Kodesh Kodeshim, in that axis. And not Yitam Lifnei Sov Yash Bichvodi. And then Pasuk Mem Dal is a perfect summary. V'kidashit Ol Omoed. That's the Mishkan. Veta Mizbeach Techatzer Veta Ronet Banav. That's a summary of the whole unit, isn't it? You see that Pasuk Mem Dal? Ol Moed is chapters 25 and 26. Et HaMizbeach is chapter 27. Et HaRom VePanav HaKer Shechayim Li is chapters 28 and 29. Then the final summary, V'Shechanti P'toch B'nei Yisrael V'Yiti Lechem Elohim. Perfect. En Ki Ani Hashem V'Yidou Ki Ani Hashem Elohim HaShotet Etchem HaTzitzan HaShokhim P'tocham. It's all the themes of Chumash, all there. Remember, Ani Hashem Elohim from Brit Milah, and from Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Therefore, the unit ends right there, doesn't it? Chapter 20 ends a unit, clearly. And then we have the leftovers. See, Perek Lamed? It's clearly a leftover. And what's the first leftover? Mizbach Torah. Now, two cute things, we're not going to do though, just see another cute. Mizbach Torah is still part of the Truma Tetzaveh. Starting in Kitisah, we have more leftovers. But in Kitisah, every leftover has a Dibor. And if you count them up, there's six, till it's over, there's six Dibors. There's one Dibor, Truma Tetzaveh. And then there's a dibur in Kitisa about the Maksita Shekel. It's on the outline. There's a dibur about the Kior. There's a dibur about Shemana Mishka. There's a dibur about the Ktoret. A dibur to Petzalo. And a dibur about Shabbat. You see that? One dibur for chapters 25 to 29. For Tumat Tetzaveh. And then afterwards, everyone has its own little dibur for all the leftovers. And guess how many there are all together? The whole unit has seven. And what's the seventh one? It's Shabbat. And the sixth one is Bezalel. Which is like day, parallel to day six. He's like, man, with that ability. The others don't fit so nice, but the six and seven are good. You can fetch the other ones, but if the Asud Mikdash for Shachanti is Or, you know, maybe it fits nice. But and if Rakia is like, what would the Rakia be? Or the Machsita Shekel. I don't know, but you can fetch it, but they're fetchy. But six and seven were great. We're going to get to it right now. Listen carefully now. Perfect question, right on the spot. Now go to Perek Lamed, and I just want to look on the outline first. The Mizbach Toret is the first leftover, but all the leftovers match the big unit. You see why? The first leftover belongs where? The Mizbach Toret is the first leftover. Where does it belong? In what chapter does it belong? It belongs in 25, doesn't it? And Vakha Bukuni, they're all together. What did they do with the Machsita Shekel? They made the Adanim, the sockets that hold up the Krashim at the Mishkan. So that belongs in chapter 26. The Kior is in the Chetzer, belongs in chapter 27. The Shemana Mishka is used to Moshech the Kohanim, and during the 7 days in Miluim, that belongs in chapters 28 and 29. Mizbach Torah, the Ktoret itself goes on the Mizbach Torah, just like the Olat Tamid goes on the Mizbach Olat. That's parallel to the Olat Tamid. And then we have the Builder and then Shabbat. That's why 6 and 7 work perfect. The other are just parallel because they need to be parallel. You understand how the leftovers are? And they're all peripheral. I need the Kior. I'll use an example. The Kior is not a Kli to do Avodah. I need the Kior to work on the Mizbeach. It's Heksher. A Heksher Mitzvah. I need to wash my hands to get on. In the same way, I need the Mizbach Toret to get to the menorah. Got the analogy? Just like I need the Kior to get to the Mizbach, I need the Mizbach Toret to get to the menorah. And let's read it inside. So look in Perek Lamed now. The first five sukkim is how to build it. We can skip that. Where to place it is Pasuk Vav, on the same axis between, in front of the Kodesh Kodeshim. There's an axis from the Mizbeach to the Kodesh Kodeshim. It's smack on that axis. And then we need Pasuk Zayin. Listen to Pasuk Zayin, it'll prove my point. That there's linkage between the Mizbeach Toret and the Menorah. Pasuk Zayin. V'ktira lav aron ktoret samim Baboker baboker bativot and erot yaktirana. Uvalot arot and erot ben harbaim yaktirana ktore temid ifnei Hashem odorotechem. What's it saying? When do we do ktoret? Whenever the Aaron goes in to take care of the menorah. It doesn't say when we do the menorah that, no, we do that when we do the ktoret. It says, it's not part of the Shekhinah unit. The main thing we're doing is lighting the menorah. Why am I bringing Mishbach Toret? Why am I bringing Toret? In order to enter. Bringing Toret is sort of the smokescreen to allow you to go in. Because man shouldn't go inside, because who are we? Remember the whole team of Har Sinai? Yeah. We're not worthy of going inside. We have to show God I'm getting something I don't deserve. So therefore, I take Toret as a way of showing I'm entering a domain that I don't belong in, but I have to enter anyhow. That's the idea of Kapara. We need protection from Shekhinah.
Is Ketorah similar to Arafel?
Yeah, so there's a big machloket in Yeshiva, and the Yeshiva, you know, between and all the top teachers. Is the Ketorah reminding us of protection from the Shekhinah, or is the Shekhinah? You know, does the Ketorah, the Anan, remind us of the Anan at Har Sinai? And it goes back to Har Sinai. Is the Anan representing God, or the Anan protecting us from God? But that's too complicated. It's a great topic. No, all your questions are good, but if I start answering them, I'll sidetrack too much. But, yeah. But that topic is a giant, it's the machlok going to this day. We argue about it all the time. Now, going back to here, look at the next line. Lotolov Torah Zara B'chulei. Now, this bisbach is only for what? Only for Torah, not for anything else. You can't bring animals on this one. But that's why the halacha is, if there's no bisbach Torah, what do? You bring anyhow. You understand why Chazal say you don't need the Mizbech Torah? Because the mate, I need the Torah, not the Mizbech. But there's something special now. Now it makes sense. Pasuk Yod. V'chiper aron al karnota v'achad b'shana midam chatat kippurim v'achad b'shana yichaper l'dorchem kodesh kodeshim v'ol Hashem. Once a year, what I do with the dam that goes all the way inside, I have to put... It's the only dam that ever goes on this Mizbech now, except there's also chatat nimit, but the dam that goes on this Mizbech is once a year from chatat kippurim. This Mizbech needs a yearly cleaning. On Yom Kippur. That's the whole theme of Yom Kippur. My key point, without forgetting everything I just did, okay? My key point is, the Mizbach Toret is not part of the daily routine. It's peripheral, like the Kior. It's important, but it's not key. And therefore, what is the daily Avodah in the Mishkan? Lighting the menorah. Korbanot, everyone does that. Okay? Inside, we don't do Avodot, except on Yom Kippur, all the way inside. The Shulchan once a week. The daily Avodah in the Mishkan is lighting the menorah. And what are we doing? We're taking oil, we're taking something from nature, refining the olives to oil. Then we make the kind of a candle. You know what a candle is like? You don't. A candle is not a candle like nowadays. A candle is like in the museums. You know, like Aladdin. But there's a pasuk in Mishlei, I think. Yeah, Mishlei talks about Kiner mitzvah v'toro or. Just work out the analogy later on. It's right on the mark. Because the ner is the machine. Okay. And the ors from the wick. In other words, that's the purpose of mitzvot explains much, much better. That's the kli. But the light is what stems from that. In other words, doing the mitzvot is not the light. It's the actions that come from the mitzvot that becomes the light. So lighting the menorah is the main avodah that we do every day. And that's going to remind us of what? In my opinion, a man's ability to be creative. This, not just to give light, but to give light in a double sense. Let me explain what I mean. In this parallel between with the Shulchan and the menorah, I try to prove to you from the Mivneh, from the structure of the Mishkan, that Shulchan and menorah go together, Mizbech Torah doesn't count. We do it for the structure there, and also from Parshat Emor. I think that puts the icing on the cake, that's intentional in Chumash. It's not by chance. But those two Kelib are parallel to the Kodesh Kodeshim. Because what do we have in the Kodesh Kodeshim? We have the Aron and the Kaporet. Correct? Now, what's parallel to what? At the Aron, Kaporet, Shulchan, Menorah. What matches what? That's a Miksha one. That's a Miksha one. Okay. Which one's a Miksha Zahav? The Kaporet is Miksha Zahav, and the Menorah is Miksha Zahav. What's Atzei Shittim, Mitzupim Zahav? What are clay people that accept something? The Aron and the Shulchan. What transmit? You have to feed on the ground. You have the Sulam Mutzav Arzav Rosh Magi Hashemayim, and therefore the Kruvim. I have the Word of God in the Aron, That is, but when questions come up, Moshe hears the word of God and direction from God for the being Shnei Akruvim. Continuing, I don't say, I can't say ongoing revelation because that brings up a big topic. What? Okay, not in the modern sense. Because when questions come up, the Torah was given once, but it has to, questions come up. And therefore, direction, instruction for future questions comes from the Kruvim. Now, that instruction has to be understood and refined. And therefore, from the Kaporet, from the Kruvim, on the Kaporet, which goes back to the Gan Eden thing, of man's shtab lo vel v'shaman, what's holding man back from returning to Gan Eden. That's going to go to the menorah, because what's the menorah always going to be a symbol of? Of the Kohanim. I'll give you an example. Let's go back to the glitch on the outline. Right. Where is there a glitch? And that outline was so structured. Even the leftovers now make sense, don't they? Remember, leftovers looked like they didn't make sense, but once you understand them, now they make sense that it's out of order. But the one thing that's a glitch in the whole unit is Shemen HaMishcha, where? In the end of chapter 27. See on the outline? See Shemen HaMishcha, where the oil for the menorah is there?
Yeah.
Now, in my opinion, the chapter division made a big mistake by putting the oil in chapter 27 and not chapter 28. Is the introduction to chapter 28. It's the introduction to Bidei Kuna. You follow the difference? It's not part of the Chatzer. If I go by chapters, chapter 27 is the Chatzer. It's Bidei Kuna. Shemen Lamor, the Parsha Tetzaveh, to take the oil and light the menorah, that's part of chapter 28. Because whenever I have Kohanim, I have the menorah. Give me another example of a parsha we're going to read soon. Balotcha, isn't it? Out of place, isn't it? Balotcha tenorot. When we had the Nisim, now we have Aaron's job. What's Aaron's main job? Aaron does a lot of things, but what job is associated with the Kohanim? Lighting the menorah. Can you see the Kohanim Shmurudat? Balot ner tamid. Therefore, what's symbolic of the job of the Kohanim, and with the word Kohanim and Levim, is giving light. And what's the main job of the Kohanim? Not to bring Korban up, but rather it's to take the laws of the Torah and refine them so that other people can understand them. That's the job of education, to enlighten others. What's symbolic about giving light is not just, oh, I'm creative, but it enables me to see things. So enabling other people to see God and to understand God, that's the most enlightening thing there is. Remember the or of the first day of creation is Ganus Latzadikim Latidavo, that idea? The or is not the Shem B'Shen Yareach. The or is a bigger concept of understanding God, which is Vasudim Yitash V'Shachante. Man's ability to understand God, not just understand that he is, understand that he exists as something intellectual. What do you do with your creativity? What do you do with the blessing of life? That's the biggest question. And that's a message for mankind. Man has tremendous creative ability. There's a great definition of the Rambam about how he defines Tzelem Elokim. Anyone familiar? God makes man Tzelem Elokim and it makes a big deal about it, doesn't it? Let me show a couple ways how it makes a big deal. All of a sudden, Tzelem Elokim is always singular. When God makes man, not Sam. There's no explanation for that other than it wants you to... Hey, something's going on here. You follow? Not Sam means the Shutafut. It's different. But it's an intentional mistake in grammar, just like Vayomer Elokim is an intentional mistake in grammar. Isn't it? Because Elokim should be plural. But now we do Nasa because the Chumash wants you to pay attention to something big's going on here. Because that's the last act of creation, but that's the main point of the creation story, to know that you have this godly ability to be creative, but what are you going to do with it? Now, in Mori Nevuchim, the Rambam is really his commentary on Chumash, but he hides it. And he says so in his introduction. It's my commentary in Chumash I wanted to write, but I didn't have the guts to write it. Now, when he says his introduction, he says, I wanted to write all my whole life a Pirush on Chumash, because I figured it out. But he says, if I spill the beans, it's not fair. Because if God wanted someone to spill, he would have spilled the beans. So he said, I have to hide my understanding of Chumash, because God hid his message to mankind in Chumash. He said, well, I can't go and not give that to people, so I'm going to hide my understanding of Chumash in Mori Nevuchim, like God did in Chumash. And he gives his explanation of Chumash in Mori Nevuchim. He begins, his first chapter is definitions. His first definition is Tzelem Elokim. You know how he defines Tzelem Elokim? I'm using a mathematical term, and he says it, but without these terms. He says it's sigma man minus sigma animal equals Tzelem Elokim. Sigma means Sum total. The sum, take whatever man is, subtract from that whatever animal is, and what do you get? Tzelem Elokim. Everyone knows man is different than animal. How to define it? Everyone, no one can pinpoint a definition, correct? It's like the Supreme Court Justice said about another topic.
Yeah.
I can't define it, but I know it is when I see it. So you say everyone knows man is different than animal. How to define it? It's complicated, but everyone knows there's a difference. I'll give you that. What else does Chumash do to help us remember the difference? There's another custom of making, when we get dressed in the morning, there's a bracha called Mabish Arumim. Mm-hmm. God dresses people? No. Just like Shaul and Yonatan didn't dress the women of Israel. You follow? Remember? In a song, it means you gave them the ability to buy expensive clothing. So same to here. What does it mean? There's a story of Gan Eden, which talks about man and his ability to distinguish between good and bad and his purpose to serve God. It begins by Yushnem Arumim, Boid Bashashu, and ends with, he makes him Kunador Ve'Abishem. Now, if you know your biology, whatever it's called, the only living thing that needs clothing is man. And an alien would come from outer space, you notice right away, humans are different because they wear clothing, animals don't. Except those little dogs walking with humans. The fact that you need clothing is supposed to remind you of your Tzelem Elokim, or remind you of your God, of the nature of your godliness. So now you can take that clothing and use it as a reminder of appreciation of God making Tzelem Elokim, or you can take it and turn it the exact opposite. And that's why clothing is something so basic to mankind. But in davening, we use clothing as a reminder of the purpose of our creation. And the Gan Eden story uses that to get that point across. Remember, it's the whole theme of the story, isn't it? Remember Ayeka? He says, I'm not because I'm who told you you're naked, the whole thing? You can't miss that theme in that story. Now back to what our theme was. What I tried to show you now is that the menorah is going to be the key avodah on the day, and the menorah continues from the kaporet, as opposed to, it's just like the shulchan continues from the aron. And the kohanim are always associated with the menorah. Therefore, don't be surprised if God has a message. Let me get to Hanukkah and then I'll go back and finish up the leftovers. How are we doing time-wise? Yeah, I'm almost finished. If we have a military victory, which is also part of man's ability to make arms and fight, it's part of civilization, but civilization, nations can work together for the common good and they can fight with each other, especially in the name of God. Civilization has the ability to do tremendous achievements and tremendous bad. That's the history of civilization. And don't blame God, blame man when something goes wrong. But man has that ability. What does man do with that ability? Now, to make sure it goes right, that requires leadership. It requires... We're interdependent upon one another. Therefore, when we have a military victory, we have to thank God for it. But the question is not thanking God for the military victory. What do you do with the military victory? Now, if you know the history of Hanukkah, we won that victory. And the Hasmonean Empire was the first time, this was from this year a couple years ago, that Haggai's nevuah of prosperity and sovereignty were fulfilled. And that's why they picked the day of Hanukkah. That was the whole thing with the winter solstice and the time of year and Haggai's nevuah. And basically, the Hashem saw themselves as fulfilling the great hopes for Bait Sheni that Haggai and Zechariah were talking about. Well, at least Haggai. Now, the problem was, is that after a generation or two, they didn't get the message right. And the power and strength turned into haughtiness and everything fell apart. But they continued to celebrate Hanukkah. So therefore, after like 100, 200 years later, the rabbis move the main theme of Hanukkah to Nespach HaShemen. Why? Because it goes back to Zechariah. It's what does Zechariah say? Lo b'chayah v'lo b'koach kim b'ruchi, which is after for Hanukkah. It's not only about chayah, which is prosperity and koach, power, but it's about ruach. And if I'm going to remember, if I'm going to thank God for military victory, and if I'm going to remember there's a chance I might return once again to sovereignty and power, okay, I need to remember what to do with it. And therefore, there's no point in having a celebration of a military victory if I don't put a reminder of what I do with that victory, which is symbolized by the menorah. Now we have got back to Pesumei Nisa. What nation are we supposed to remember? We're supposed to be thankful for the miracle of the military victory, but when God blesses you with a military victory, what do you do with it? If he gives you statehood again, he gives you nationalism, he gives you prosperity and industry, what do you do with that? Just say thank you? Or do I thank God by taking that blessing and that ability and doing it for a better good and become a partner with God and help improve creation? And that's a challenge of civilization. And therefore, when we have a national celebration, we're having a holiday, and we're talking about our military might, which is important. You have to be proud of nationalism. It can't go without a sign of lo b'chad lo k'ach kim bruchi. You have to have the direction. And the best example would be from the menorah. Now, the miracle of the menorah is super meaningful, because if you remember this, we did also. The miracle of the menorah wasn't in the menorah, the miracle was in the pach, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, it was in the menorah, but because the miracle was the pach that gave that, and that was the miracle with Elisha, now, which was Aftar for about a month ago. Vayera. Why was it Aftar in Vayera? Parsha Vayera. We read about Elisha. What's the real reason? What's the simple reason? Why do we read about Elisha on Parsha Vayera? Because Isha Shuna mate and the birth of the child and the whole thing there, right? But we don't start from there. We start a couple of psukim earlier with what story? What they call Avad, what Chazal says Avadi's wife. There was a Navi who died, probably killed by Zebel, and his wife had two children, two boys, and borrowed money to put, you know, she wanted to send her to Jewish school, and she couldn't afford it, but she went and asked for a thing, and she couldn't pay back her loans. And the debt collector came, and legally, he had the right. Now, any lawyer in Stone could have shown that he was right. She did money, that's a collateral, and she takes the two sons as a thing, and legally, 100% correct. Any lawyer can prove it. She comes complaining to the Navi, doesn't she? What's the Navi tell her to do? She says, what do you have at home? You have a little thing of Shemen. What's he tell her to do? The first thing she has to do, go to her neighbors and borrow, right? Receive chesed. You have to receive chesed from others, and then from the chesed you receive from others, that's Abraham, that's Sdom and Abraham, which is what Parsha. Vayera. You see why we started there? And that message of hope and meaning in times of dark, that was a message for Hanukkah. But Nes Pach HaShemen is a much bigger thing than Chumash. It goes back to Elisha. But it goes back again to that idea of chesed and working together, and what do you do what do you do as a collective group? What do you do as civilization? So therefore, man takes the menorah, takes the daily avodah that we do in the mikdash is lighting the menorah, which I call pursumei teva. What's nature? Nature is perek aleph and breshit. But what's the meaning of perek aleph and breshit? It's not a science lesson. It's not a lesson. It's what's the meaning of man being b'tzelem Elokim? And man has to recognize God gave him the ability to be industrious, to develop civilization. What does he do with that industry? And therefore, the acts that we do, which are pretty much all the melachot of Shabbat, isn't it? No sidur the pot thing. We make light, we create light every day through our industry. And once a week, we do bread. Bread, and that's the theme of the man, that's really easy to explain. The man and Shabbat and the whole message of Shabbat. What? That's sure we've done. That was the Omer share, which fits perfectly now. That's why it's in Perek Abdallah now. Right after the Omer and the Shemen and remember Kochivat Samyadi Asadli Tachalaze? Once a week, that's the whole thing of Shabbat, of stopping creativity. Remember that. How do we know that bread, how did Am Yisrael know that the man is a miracle? If it fell every day at the same time, the same amount, so it would be nature. The fact that once a week it doesn't fall, that tells you that when it does fall, it's from God. Which is what Shabbat is about. And therefore, when do we switch it? We switch it on Shabbat. Okay, so I think, let me look at the source and make sure we covered everything. We'll review the source sheet, make sure we got everything. There's Chanukiah menorah, we talked about the idea of Pursumei Nisa. But the connection is almost technical, because the Chanukiah is only by chance, it's 8. No, because Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. But the miracle of the menorah that we're remembering goes back to the menorah in the Mishkan. We talked about symbolism in Mitzvot, and we have the whole idea of Mishkan is symbolic, like the Ramban. Tzitzit was another example, remembering in the Tzitzit of the Kohen Gadol. This is a parallel of the Beged Kohen of the Kohen Gadol is tzitzit, and of Am Yisrael is tzitzit. But my whole point was that our symbol of God is not a symbol of God, but a symbol of a relationship with God. And therefore, all the Kelim reflect our relationship with God, hence the Aron and the contract, and the Kodesh Kodeshim, which is a theme of why we're chosen. But in the Kodesh, I want to go back now to the theme of representing why God made man a relationship with God. Mankind's relationship with God is Kodesh, and the Kodesh Kodeshim is our relationship with God. To bring that idea to mankind. Then we talked about the So we talked about the Aron and the theme of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We did the theme of six. And now creation, creation civilization. I brought some examples from Chumash. What does God expect man? What does God expect man to do with his creative ability, the civilization? So we have the story in Gan Eden, right? We have the flood, which proves that God expects man to be good, without being commanded. The Tower of Babel, again, man uses ingenuity, etc. It's really cool. After the flood, we got Noah. What's he do? He makes wine, but it goes bad. And then the Tower of Babel, you know, man makes building, but they don't understand the purpose of that. And then God picks Abraham Avinu, and then he's going to call out, and he's going to start calling names, and then. Calling out in God's name. Then we had the daily menorah, the Shevin Lama'or, and Nechem HaPanim. Remember, we take day three, but God makes on day three and improve upon it in day four. And then we have the parallel of that. And then the message about Hanukkah from, we remember Haggai's message of return to prosperity and political sovereignty. That's sure we did in the past. And Zechariah's message, that first you have to do tshuva to be worthy of it. And you have to remember that it was why God's bringing you back. And what they did wrong the first time, and this vision of the menorah, b'lo b'chayav lo b'koach im ruchi, which might be symbolic of our pesu menisa, is to remember, as we thank God for our military victory, not to forget the idea of the purpose of the military victory, and applying that to modern day times, it's probably easier than anything. In other words, we're blessed nowadays with the state, with national, with economic prosperity, and we have to thank God for that. He fulfills that. But what we do with it, the goal is not just to thank God, Yishkar, thank you, and now move on, but to appreciate. God gave me that ability. What do I do with that? Do I do it to improve civilization, to mekadesh Hashem Shemayim, or is it? It's not about gratitude. It's about recognizing destiny. And people need symbols to remember their ideas. And lighting again, Chanukiah and Pesu Menisa. The way Chazal did it, I think, is beautiful, and that's I think what Hanukkah is deeply about. Okay, we have to. Yeah, we're over time. So thank you so much, and have a Chanukkah Sameach. How do we stop this? Stop.